Hello and welcome to the IRPP Interview with the Author Series. My name is Nicola Johnston and my guest today is Professor Patrick Marier. Professor Marier is the author of the new study, Improving Canada's Retirement Savings, Lessons from Abroad, Ideas from Home, published by the Institute for Research and Public Policy. Professor Marier is also the Canada Research Chair in Comparative Public Policy and Associate Professor in the Department for Political Science at Concordia University. Welcome, Professor Marier. Can you tell me then, what are some of the main challenges associated with Canada's retirement savings structure that led you to see the need to examine different retirement savings tools in other jurisdictions?
Yeah, in order to identify the challenges, I think it's first important to address the question of what should the goals and objectives of the retirement system should be. And there are five main goals that are discussed very briefly in the paper. The first one is to alleviate poverty, which represents the key reasons why states intervene in pensions in the first place. The second is to reduce income inequalities among seniors and also between seniors and individuals still in the labor market. A third goal, which is the main one that is discussed throughout the study, is to maintain the standards of living. So therefore, when you leave the labor market, you don't have a big drop in your revenues. The fourth one is related to intergenerational equity, which is to ensure that citizens receive a similar treatment across generation. And the fifth one is to increase the saving rates. So if you compare to other industrialized countries, actually Canada does extremely well with regards to the first two goals, and that's really not a key issue in Canada, although we expect that some minor adjustments will be needed, especially in the form of indexing the benefits for the OAS and the GIS. So the key really is, and that's the key goal of this objective, is to have a closer look at the third objective, which is to ensure that replacement rate are high enough, especially for individuals that are of the median wage and up. We talk a little bit implicitly also in the paper of the issue of intergenerational equity, because Canada does stand out a little bit compared to other industrialized countries, with the last reform placed most of the costs on younger generations, while most countries have adopted a series of measures that spread the costs across cohort. But indirectly, the paper addresses this issue as well, because the failure to address declining pension coverage, which is particularly pressing in younger cohorts, has also long-term consequences. And the last key issue is increasing the saving rates in terms of the goal. It's been much more prominent in other countries than in Canada. The key related issue is who should save, the state, individuals, or their party, and that's also addressed implicitly throughout the paper. So if you look abroad, it provides very valuable lessons for policymakers. Multiple pension reforms have been introduced in the past 20 years and involve the use of new and innovative policy instruments, and I thought that it would be very interesting to expand our horizons and expand the debate by exploring these avenues and as a way to improving our retirement income system.
So speaking of avenues then, you include Saskatchewan in this study, which stands out as a bit of an anomaly from the other examples you discuss. So can you tell me, why did you choose Saskatchewan, and how does its system differ from that of the others in this study?
Yeah, Saskatchewan pension plan is actually a very good example of a program whose purpose has changed over time, because originally it was conceived as a homemaker program. But the profile of the members is changing rapidly. So more and more now, the individuals who work at the Saskatchewan Pension Plan are targeting employers and employees and encouraging people in the labor market who don't have occupational pensions to join the Saskatchewan Pension Plan. So it could easily be made more appealing as a voluntary occupational pension scheme, especially if the limit, the contribution ceiling was raised. So it was chosen as a way to demonstrate that creative solutions can also be found within our borders, which is something we tend to ignore a lot, and that although a national solution is preferable, provinces can still make policy to improve the well-being of their own senior. So as discussed in the paper, the SPP has very interesting characteristics. It's very flexible with regards to when and how often individuals are contributing. It's very transparent. It's very well governed, and it has very minimal administrative costs.
So in your view then, what is the trade-off with implementing more coercive forms of pension systems, such as this Swedish example versus the Saskatchewan case, the voluntary defined contribution pension plan?
Yeah, in order to answer this question, we need to get back to, you know, what should be the goal of the retirement income system. So if we have as a clear goal that we need to maintain standards of living into retirement, then a mandatory solution clearly works best. You know, studies have demonstrated that individuals underestimate the cost of retirement, and that even with a good retirement plan, individuals often fail to make the right investment decisions. And moreover, this type of solutions would, in the long run, likely reduce the cost of other programs like the GIS. However, if we seek to develop public policy where the aim is to provide opportunities to maintain a standard of living, but not as a clear goal that everybody should have maintain a standard of living, then automatic enrollment or pure voluntary solutions are more likely to be appropriate.
So can you tell me then, how do the Scandinavian retirement income systems analyzed in this study differ from Canada's, and how does that affect the feasibility of importing their ideas related to private pensions?
Well, first, it's important to note that there are important variations across the Scandinavian countries, with Denmark and Finland relying much more on occupational pensions than Sweden and Norway. That being said, they all have a generous basic pension, and the income tax system plays an important role in achieving basic goals such as alleviating poverty and reducing inequalities. And now I'll talk about more Norway and Sweden, which were two cases covered in the analysis. So the key difference is that both Norway and Sweden pension scheme are much more comprehensive and generous than the Canada pension plan. So the Canada pension plan had much more limited aims with regards to replacement rate than the other two. In light of the recent reforms in both countries, their earnings-related pension schemes includes an interesting indexation mechanism based on economic and demographic elements. Also, they make attempt to make the retirement age more neutral, so meaning that regardless on when the individual retired, it has actually no impact on the system. So it becomes some sort of neutral. Individuals receive information as to how much they would be getting at age X, and it's really entirely up to them to decide when they retired, assuming that they have a decision of when to leave the labor market. And also, there's a stronger link between contribution and benefits. So a lot of these elements could easily be important into the Canadian pension system, but they're mostly related to the Canada pension plan. So the CPP is not in need of a reform, but it would be an interesting avenue if, you know, policymakers were to decide that raising the replacement rate of the CPP wasn't a potential avenue for reform.
Okay, so in that case then, what would be the particular challenges to implementing mandatory occupational pensions in Canada?
Yes, there are many. So I'll focus on three. The first one, which is more of a political problem, is relates to finding a good agreement between the provinces and the federal government. I mean, we should aim to harmonize or at least create similar condition across provinces and employment sectors. And that's a big issue. Another one would be to facilitate the coordination of small enterprises so that they can benefit from the economy of scale. However, it was, you know, in a lot of countries, this is always raised as an issue, but it was expected to be a major issue in Norway. However, it showed that they adapted fairly rapidly. The last time I checked, I think only one or two companies were actually fined for not complying with the reform. And if we consider the fact that the Canadian financial industry has far more experience and maturity in the field of pensions, shouldn't that be a problem here as well? So the key is to ensure that the same rules apply to everyone and that no enterprise benefits from a comparative advantage. And the third, I think, element that we would need to consider is to introduce mechanism to make sure that we're not restraining labor mobility when we're introducing such policy instruments.
So to wrap up then, what suggestions might you offer for reforming Canadian retirement savings based on your observations from these five jurisdictions?
So I think that we need a very good discussion as to what we are seeking to achieve first, and that's clearly what should be driving the type of reform that we're seeking. Personally, I believe that public authorities should, at the very least, ensure that citizens have the opportunity to obtain a solid replacement rate once they're retired. From our experience, our own experience, if you look at Canada in the past, action is needed to raise the replacement rate, especially for private sector workers, and it's clear that purely voluntary solutions are not working. I fear much more inaction, in which case I think that it will have very negative consequences in the long term, and that could jeopardize current policy outcomes that are quite favorable for Canada.
Thanks very much for being here with us today, Professor Marier.
Thank you.
Professor Marier is the author of the new study, Improving Canada's Retirement Savings, Lessons from Abroad, Ideas from Home, published by the Institute for Research on Public Policy. The study is available free of charge on our website at www.irpp.org.